Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Welcome to Calvary Chapel Kampala this 2016 Resurrection Sunday. Let's open our Bible. Let's actually stand up and read the resurrection narrative from Matthew chapter 28. This is the greatest story ever, so we'll do well to be on our feet and read it together. Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb, and with fear and great joy, they ran to bring his disciples word. Lord, thank you so much for resurrection. Thank you so much for the joy, the hope, the power, the glory of resurrection that we all have in you and that we will all experience ultimately in you. God, thank you so much for overcoming the fear and the sting of death. Thank you so much for giving us courage in this life and courage to face anything. Thank you so much that when we look for you, when we seek you, we find you. Thank you so much for living in us and giving us life abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Early on the first Resurrection Sunday, we read Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They went out to look for their dead Lord. And that's really our theme today. Who do you seek? Who do you look for? What are you looking for? What are you seeking? We all wake up to seek something, to look for something. On an average morning, everybody wakes up and they go out to look for something. There are those who go to look for jobs. There are those who the doctors have said to, you have to exercise or else you'll die in 1 year. So you have to exercise every morning. There are those who go to work. The journalists go to look for news. The farmers go to the fields. The chefs report for work. They're going to cook. On Monday mornings, I wake up just to do nothing. We call it chill in young people's language. We just wake up very early just to chill. We have young kids and they wake up at about 7. So sometimes I wake up at 6 just to cool off before they wake up. Just to have a good mind. Mary and Magdalene, while everybody's going fishing, everybody's going jogging, everybody's going walking, everybody in fear. So many hopes shattered. Remember the men who are walking to Emmaus, they walked 7 miles, and all they were talking about is the news of the weekend. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. We had hoped that he would redeem us from Roman oppression. Mary Magdalene is not looking for a dead body. Though they thought, let's go embalm him, smear him with ointments, because we didn't have enough time on Friday and we didn't want to touch a dead body and they're pronounced unclean, so we won't be able to partake of the Passover meal and all the other things that accompany that. You ever go looking out for a dead person? Ever after burial? Do you even want to go to the grave because of the sadness, because of the pain experience? Maybe just to stand there and to think about the person a little bit. Early, the first thing they do is go out and look for who? And looking for their Lord. They find an angel. After the earthquake had shook the ground, an angel sitting on the very stone that was used to seal the tomb, the grave. The guards that were there, armed with spears and clubs and strong men, knocked out. The women weren't looking for the Roman soldiers. They weren't looking for angels. They weren't looking for anyone apart from Jesus Christ. There are 3 things that we all look for in life, summarized. We look for power, the ability to influence people, events. We look for pleasure, excitement, thrill, happiness, joy. And the third thing we all look for is popularity or fame. We want people to like us. We want to be very attractive. We want to be superior. We want to walk around and everybody's cheering. In various aspects, those are the three things we all look for in life. Now, the pursuit of such activities, research shows, anticipates reward. When you're looking for something, you're looking for it for something. You're looking for reward. And sometimes the process of looking for whatever it is in itself rewarding. We don't just derive happiness from attaining or receiving power or pleasure or popularity, whatever the object of our pursuit is. We also do so from just anticipating its reception. Somebody said it's not just the eating of the cake that is pleasurable, but standing outside a bakery glass door and looking at the cake. Right? Window shopping. Often the things we chase don't bring us the happiness, the thrill we are looking for. And we often find ourselves chasing and chasing and chasing. You're looking for the cake, you find it in the bakery, you have it and you're thinking, oh, I thought that would give me so much excitement. Now it's over, I need to look for another cake, right? You go on a holiday, you obviously receive as much refreshment and nourishment and joy as possible, but it comes to an end and you're planning another one altogether. When we finally get what we want and we've experienced the joy of that discovery, of that adventure, it still leaves us not 100% satisfied. It's called anticipatory joy. Doesn't fully satisfy. In some cases, the chase runs our lives. We keep chasing something, and it dominates our lives. We think, all right, with just one term of presidency, we will be okay. We discover we need a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one, and a sixth one, right? We're all that way. We're looking for the first thing, the second thing, the third thing, the fourth thing, the fifth thing. However, it also often becomes a source of exhaustion, depression, and health problems. The very things that we look for become bad when we pursue them for their own sake. You pursue pleasure, you will go do everything that's pleasurable, and all of a sudden, your life is defined by pleasure-seeking. Hedonism, it's called. The women are not looking for anything. And much as in their nature, they're looking for power, they're looking for pleasure, they're looking for popularity, they know where to find it. It's in Jesus. They're not looking for breakfast, they're not looking for anyone. When they find the angel, their way is our Lord. If you met an angel, you woke up in the morning and you're just looking for something and you met an angel, what would you do? You ask them for the very thing you're looking for, right? You met an angel looking for a pizza. Pizza angel. Where's the pizza, right? Where's the food? Where is the fitness? Where's the gym? If we are looking for power, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest power ever. There is one thing that all humanity has failed to find. The solution to living forever. Medicine has made so much progress in finding stuff, discovering stuff. There's only one thing that is completely undiscovered, is how to make this life that we live last forever. You heard the statistics in our country. People are living longer and having less children. All these facts. Don't you wait for that discovery that now we have this drink or this medicine that you drink it, you last forever. That will be the greatest discovery, right? And that is the power everyone is looking for. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul's talking about his pursuit of Jesus Christ. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul was looking for something, and we're all looking for it. The power of living life forever. And Jesus says, I have it. I have power, ability to give you life forever because you look for it. We're looking for influence. We're looking to be dominant. And Jesus says, I put that desire in you. If you're power hungry, it is a good desire. We just have to find it in the right place, right? And all of us are power hungry. And we should hunger for power in Jesus Christ. And he says, I have it. You looking for resurrection power? You looking for life forever? I have it. And in him, we have that power of resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57, two verses, Paul writes, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your bite? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The women did not know it, but they were looking for power. And they find it. The power of resurrection. They're looking for so many things within that. They're looking for hope. They're looking for the influence of their Lord. Others are hiding. And these two women have the greatest discovery ever. They would later on announce to his disciples, we have discovered the risen Lord. What a privilege. We've discovered what everybody's looking for. We have discovered power over death. We have discovered victory over death. And that's for us to enjoy. Earlier on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, Paul told the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God. Christians, our faith is in the power of God, nothing else. And that makes the resurrection the greatest strength of all times. There is no faith or belief in anything that we will put our minds to, our hearts to, and give us the power of God. No other. Only belief in Jesus Christ gives us the power of God. You have discovered Jesus Christ. And if you have not, you have a privilege to find him today. Because he's risen and he's alive. And he's giving power. He says, if you're hungry for power, come. You come to me. This is the right place to find it. It's not found in anything else outside God himself. He is the Almighty, the All-Powerful. And he says, you're hungry and thirsty for power, for influence, for any ability I have it. So you come. The angel announced to the ladies, you're looking for Jesus, are you? Do you know how people who look for Jesus look like? Would somebody see you on a very early morning of any day and realize you're actually looking for Jesus Christ? Maybe you're sitting there. Maybe you're walking. Maybe you're talking. And the person looks at you and they say, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, aren't you? And you'll be like, yeah, how did you know? We look in scriptures. You find somebody early in the morning opening up the Bible, maybe listening to a Christian song, maybe praying, and you can hear their prayers. Who are they looking for? They are looking for Jesus Christ. And we do well to wake up early to find Jesus Christ. He's available, isn't he? Every morning, we have resurrection power. We have all power that we need. Power against just about everything. He is here in pages of scriptures. And Jesus did not rise up late in the day, did he? He did not resurrect at midday. It was early in the morning. The beginning of the day is when this announcement is given to these ladies. And tell you what, every morning you wake up looking for Jesus, looking for his power, you find it. You wake up with extraordinary power, don't you? Your mind is clear, your vision is clear, Your energy is up. You're ready to face anything in the day. And if you don't wake up looking for Jesus Christ, what will happen? You won't have as much strength as you want. You won't have as much clarity of mind, of speech, of anything. You will fumble. I mean, we know this, don't we? You will fumble around all day. You'll fidget all day when everything that you need is actually not found in the Lord. All the other pursuits are vain if we don't wake up early to get this power. It's available for us. He is risen, and you say, He is risen indeed. We look for pleasure, don't we? These women were looking for pleasure. They didn't even know it. Imagine you're looking for your dead boss. And you're thinking, we'll not give them a decent burial, so we need to really give them a burial that they deserve. You're looking to give them a send-off that actually makes you happy and makes you satisfied. We gave them a decent burial. You know why we look for pleasure? You know the pleasure principle it's called? It eases our physique and our mind. A joyful, happy person is generally attractive not only in body and appearance, but they also have a very, very eased up mind. The worst person you want next to you in this life is somebody who is unhappy. Eventually, it's going to show on their face, right? And when you see them with a gloomy face, you want to be close to them? Sometimes when I go shopping, I kind of first want to notice the appearance of the shopkeeper. And if they just be angry, I'll be like, okay, not a good salesman, not a good salesman. I'm looking for somebody who is smiling, aren't you? You walk into a shop, you're looking for somebody smiling who is like, hey, welcome, what do you want? How can I help you? Pleasure actually eases our physical appearance and our mind. And God gave it to us, right? God made us that way. A happy person is a person everybody wants to be around. You know what Jesus tells them? The very first thing Jesus tells them when they find him, when he appears to them, you read it. What did he say? Rejoice! They are walking, they are unhappy. Who is going to roll away the stone? Where could they have put him? We didn't give him a decent burial. The disciples, the men are not even here to protect us in case we are attacked by the Roman soldiers. All these concerns are going on in their heads. And Jesus says, just one word, just one. Rejoice. You are looking for pleasure. You're looking for a transformation of your face. You want that gloomy face to be pleasant. You want that sadness to go away and a smile to be given to you. So this is what I offer you. I offer you joy. More than just happiness and more than just the ordinary pleasure that we look for. In Matthew 28, verse 9, and they went to tell the disciples, and as they went rather tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Smile. Be happy. All hail. The old King James translates all hail. All is fine. You can smile. You don't have to worry about the men who are hiding, about your insecurity, about where I am. I'm right here. I'm alive. And that should cause you to rejoice. And they went away rejoicing because they had the news that everyone wanted to hear. Is the Lord really alive? Or is actually dead and his body stolen? In Psalm 16, verses 10 to 11, this is a messianic psalm, by the way. Jesus is referred to here, and David says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Why would David say that? We look for pleasure. We're longing for that meal after here that is going to excite us, right? Maybe you're fasting. Anybody fasting today? Nobody's fasting today. Everybody's looking for a delicious meal. Good experience. And we are promised that we will not see corruption. This is really a Jesus and then his resurrection, he wasn't left there to rot and decay. And David says, you will also show me the path of life. Not being allowed to see corruption, that means it's going to give us the path of life. We have abundant life. We have eternal life. In your presence is every joy that we look for. And at your right hand, your powerful hand, your hand of favor, the right hand, are pleasures forevermore. Every morning we wake up looking for pleasure. Sometimes we don't even know it. The only place we can find it is at the right hand of God. And every morning he will say to you, rejoice. And everything else may not be rejoice worthy, but I want you to rejoice. You are in my hand, and I'm giving you pleasures forevermore. When we make it to heaven, it is going to be pleasure forevermore. Because that is our heart's longing. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10, do you ever read that book? When I was a young Christian, I was like, Chronicles, what on earth is that? 1 Chronicles, the order of the kings, glory. Chapter 16, verse 10, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Be happy in his name and let your heart rejoice because you are looking for who? You're looking for Jesus Christ and rejoicing and pleasures forevermore and joy, fullness of joy is only available for those who seek Jesus Christ. Only these women were the first to taste it, and it produced rejoicing. They went away leaping for joy. Our Lord is alive, and that rejoicing is in our resurrected Lord. Only. All the other things that we look for will only give us a little dose. It will only excite our bodies in one, excite our hearts 100%. It will not excite our spirits. We may be high. It's called high spirits. But not fully. Not most high. In the resurrected Jesus Christ is fullness of joy. Nothing will block us from enjoying Jesus Christ and finding him when we look for him. That's what Philippians 4:4 says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And we all say, rejoice in the Lord. And somebody said, that does not mean looking for happiness in its own good. It means pursuing and finding God. And it will always result in the greatest happiness in the end. Every holiday, every food, every adventure will not give us the greatest happiness we're looking for. Only the reason and resurrected Lord. We're looking for popularity. We're looking for attraction. That's why we dress up the way we dress up. We're looking for fame. That's why some people's lives are defined by this pursuit of fame. And they'll do the craziest thing. They'll even die looking for fame. They're looking for, I am the one who climbed the highest mountain. Right? So my name goes on a particular book of records. Why won't anybody look for the highest peak on a mountain in the ordinary sense? They must be looking for something, right? Why do people buy a really nice, expensive car, right? And they park it and they kind of go around it like, and they lock it and they walk away and they kind of look at it like it's sick. We're looking for recognition, right? We're looking for the best. Why would somebody buy a $300,000 car? They're looking for something. Something is ringing on their head that if I get this car, I will appear on the very front page of a very popular newspaper. And the people who produce all these products that we're looking for, they know that. They're very smart. All right? They know that everybody's looking for some sort of recognition. So what they do is they brand the product. You buy this, you're going to be popular, right? You drink this beer. You eat this chocolate. You come to this place, you get this ice cream. Boy, everybody's going to know about it. And everybody's going to be like, wow, look at the person who consumes the best ice cream. Oh, this guy has the nicest car in town. The thing about Christian popularity, though, is that not everybody likes us. That's the strange thing. Not everybody likes Jesus Christ. The fame in the world, everybody likes you, right? That's what politicians try to do. They try to make everybody like them. Everyone. As a Christian, it's different. And that's why even Christians are tempted and trapped by pride, right? That's why some churches do not preach the wholeness of the gospel, because some is offensive. They only pick out the nice verses that will give you pleasure, right? And will make you smile. Our popularity is in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Who is the most popular person? Who do people talk about all around the world? They may not like him, but at least they know him, don't they? And that's why they fight him. There are those who say, well, he doesn't exist, so why would you fight somebody who doesn't exist? Have you ever found somebody and they have a gun and like, I'm looking for somebody who does not exist, and if I find them, I'll kill them. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many. Jesus was on the cross and he walked out of the tomb to give you the service that you desired the most, life. He gave himself to serve everyone. And our identity in Jesus Christ, who is the most famous, makes us what? Famous. You go anywhere around the world and they ask you, so who are you? And the first thing you say, I'm a Christian. They'll be like, we know your boss, right? We know what you're talking about. We know you are a follower of Jesus Christ. They've heard about him. They read about him. Everyone is talking about Jesus Christ this very morning all across the world. He is risen. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, the Bible says, You are all sons of God through faith, Jesus Christ. For as many of you as we are baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. You are wearing Christ. You are wearing designer clothing, his righteousness. You have on you a mark that shows you belong to a kingdom. And tell you what, have you ever met a prince or a princess? Everybody knows them, right? They don't have to come here and they say, I am Prince William. People will be like, we know that already, right? We know you. And the popularity we seek or the fame we seek is actually already granted to us in Jesus Christ, right? You don't have to try to impress people around. All we have to say is, I'm a Christian, and I don't care if you're impressed or not. I belong to the greatest kingdom ever, the kingdom of God. In fact, I belong to the kingdom that only matters, the everlasting kingdom. And we should not be looking for anything cheaper than that. All right? Our fame or our popularity is not in the cars that we drive, not in the titles, you know, doctor or president or your excellency, whoever, or anything else in this earth. Our popularity and fame is embedded in the fact that we are his children. And when you went to school, nobody knew you, all right? The very first day in school. Anybody knew you? You walked in, but somebody for sure knew your father, your parent, or somebody would take you to school. All right? You walk in there, the first time I took my boy to school, his boy, I don't know anyone here. I stood there like, I'm not going anywhere. You come with me. And I told him, well, that's true, but the teachers know me, and that should make you comfortable. And off he went. The teachers know you? Really? We are his children. Amen? Amen? And that's all that matters. People may not be impressed with that, But it's right on their face. Our Father is a king. Our Father is the Lord of all. And that should cause us to not try to look for identity in anything else. Nothing. You walk around like you're a child of a king. They don't even have to introduce themselves as a prince or a princess. All right? It's already an established fact. If you're looking for identity, and we all look for it, right? We all look for it. We look for identity in the clothes that we wear, the places that we go to, in the whatever. It's already in Jesus Christ. It's already in our resurrected Lord. It's what Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says. Very popular verse, I should say. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. We can all say that, right? We have been crucified with Christ. Our sin was on the cross. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Sometimes when we have to prove our identity, or we have to present ourselves somewhere, you kind of pull out your ID. All right? Sometimes I would have to tell everybody that so-and-so is my dad. Like, I go to a place and nobody knows me, right? And then I tell them, you know my dad, right? We have been crucified with Jesus Christ on the cross. It's not just us who lives, Christians. The resurrected, alive Lord lives in each one of us. And that makes a huge difference. And he says, the life that I now live, I live trusting in the Son of God, who does what? Who loves me and gave himself for me. You know why Jesus was on the cross? And you know why he walked out of the tomb? Because he loves you so, so much. He loves each one of us so, so much. Even if it meant his life, he willingly went to the cross, knowing he would walk out with so much ease for you. And sometimes we're looking for Jesus Christ, right? Like the women. But you know the reverse is actually true? Jesus is looking for them. What happens after the women have been told the resurrection news? Jesus goes out looking for his disciples, doesn't he? He goes to Galilee, finds them in a locked room. He walks in and he tells them to not be afraid. I am alive. And for the rest of the others, he went out finding them. In John, they went fishing. The Jesus following became too complicated. They say, you know what? Let's go do something that we really know how to do. Let's go fishing. And what does Jesus do? He goes to look for them. These women, they're really looking for the Lord. Little did they know that the Lord is actually looking for them. That is the amazing thing about our God. We sit there opening up scriptures, which is a great thing to do. But you know what? That is him finding you. That is him drawing you to himself, to his resurrection. You're looking for something, he says, come, I have it. If you're looking for power, it's in Jesus Christ. Somebody said the resurrection power is the fullness of his power. It is more than enough for the greatness of his plan and purpose for your life. The power that Jesus gives us in his resurrection is not only enough, it's more than enough for his plan to be accomplished in our lives. It is more than enough to reposition you for supernatural greatness, impact, and exploits. We have power for anything the Lord wants to accomplish. And that's why Christians in all generations are very courageous and adventurous. Right? I mean, think about penetrating this continent 200 years ago, looking for souls for the kingdom. Marching, literally walking from Europe to North Africa and following the Nile and looking for people to know God. Isn't that amazing? you would walk out, literally, and look for people, regardless of the dangers, and go out and tell people about the Lord. You would go to South America and be killed, but you're looking for people to see your risen Lord. That is power. And we have it. And in resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are regenerated. We are filled with anything we're looking for. And we are completely transformed. We're just waiting to be glorified. When these women, when the disciples, when everybody came face to face with the resurrected Lord, nothing remained the same. Nothing completely. You ever go to a church and they'll tell you, by the end of the service, you'll never remain the same, right? Jesus says, you want to meet me? You will walk away completely transformed. People who are in hiding eventually open the doors and they don't care about their own safety anymore. And people who are hopeless were like, man, Jesus is alive. They ventured out in the faith like we would never imagine. And we see this through Acts, through church history unto this day, and we will see more people experiencing the risen Lord. And what comes out of them is just supernatural. Even death cannot hold them back. Nothing can hold us back when that power is in us and He is in us. It's Jesus Christ. On that morning, when Jesus conquered death and conquered the grave, He did that to give us everything we are looking for. Everything. If you are looking for anything, and all of us wake up to look for something, looking for rest, looking for hope, looking for strength, looking for direction, looking for pleasure, looking for fame, looking for anything, it is in our resurrected Lord. Amen? Amen. He is risen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us more than we're looking for. And Lord, we never seek you in vain. We never seek you and fail to find what we are looking for. Lord, often we look for the things that you have and we forget to look for you. But when we look for you, you give us everything you have. And Lord, we want everything you have. We long for just about everything. So Lord Jesus Christ, may you empower us afresh. Lord, may you empower us to walk out of our hiding, of our timidity, of our fear, knowing that you, who are all powerful, lives in us. Lord, may you fill us with joy. This world that we live in is so draining, is so saddening, so painful. And thankfully, you are there to give us rejoicing hearts, regardless of what happened. Lord, fill our hearts with joy. Lord, we know who we are in you. We don't even have to try to impress people with titles, with things that we have, with clothes that we wear. We are wearing you. We are wearing your righteousness, O God. We are your children. You are our Father. Nothing else counts, O God. And I pray that this Resurrection Sunday, we would be reminded that only you gives us what we're looking for. Power against death, victory against fear, joy, rejoicing, happiness, pleasure, identity. Lord, we are yours. Lord, I pray that you may continue drawing people to life, O God. Pray that you may continue stirring us up to tell everyone about your life, about your resurrection, about your power, about your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.